get your vehicles fixed?
Back up and going. The wife's car is going to be a little while. We got to wait on parts. Electronic power steering, which is the whole steering column. Ford is doing a redesign on it from what I was told.
What year is it, Patrick?
2010.
Your parts might be a problem. Son-in-law's mom and dad had a Buick a few years ago, and that went out 3 times, the electronic power rack and pinion steering on the front end of that thing. And I think later on, Bernice, didn't they have transmission trouble or something? Buick, beware is all I can say.
Of them anymore. They're all turning into junk with all the computer controls on them that don't last.
You might be aware there's high winds forecasted and it's coming at us and it's down around Hartwell right now. It's a long line of storms. I don't see any red in it, but with a high-profile vehicle like yours, I'd head for the roundhouse if I was you.
Test at it. I got to go all the way up to the Asheville Airport and pick up a freight shipment, and then I'll be done for the day.
Keep an eye on that. You don't want to get hurt out there. And as you well know, up in those areas, the wind speed's going to be rougher than it is here, and they forecasted earlier today 40 miles an hour.
Watching that this morning, and it's already fairly windy out here. But as the temperature starts to drop, I think the wind's going to pick up a little more.
Summertime in Kansas out there, that's what makes me a little, goosey about it. It's 11 to 17 from the southwest, and that's coming from the northwest, and that can kind of spin, if you know what I mean. But you can drop by and pick up those eggs anytime you want. We got quite a few, don't we, Mom? We gave Amy 4 dozen the other day. Boy, we still been getting some of them big ones. Some of them as much as 4 ounces again.
She's going to be hurting.
She's probably getting 6 hernias a week. Those 6 chickens of that breed are laying every day now since they turned 6 months old. And I took them up to the feed store and showed that lady, and the young man there had a video of one of the same breed, and they were cracking it, and it actually had another full eggshell inside of that egg, and they cracked it, and it was another whole egg.
3 inside of 1. That's something else. But yeah, one of the ones I got from you was double yoked. And I will try to get by tomorrow if that's okay.
Anything on the calendar here beside of me, Patrick? No, there was just 2. I didn't tell it just exactly right, but I didn't want to fib to you either. It was just 1 egg, but I was amazed. There's another brown egg inside of that egg. And it was, she said it was bigger than the one that I had that weighed 4.1 ounces. It's just hard to believe. Because you can't even close the egg cartons, Patrick. You got to put a rubber band around them.
Picture that. The egg cartons don't close too good with eggs that big. And you get a dozen of those size eggs, and you can feed a whole army.
First day since I got that viral infection in my gums and lips that is finally starting to recede, and those pills are big enough you can take them orally or use them as a suppository. They're 1 gram, and they're a big old blue pill, but they're working, and I feel so much better. So I got to eat a regular breakfast this morning, and that egg almost filled the whole plate. And then Bernice made some delicious French toast with her raspberry jelly on it. But yeah, come on by. She'll fix you up. I'm glad to share. We're just amazed. We never had any that did that. And they're dark brown eggs, you know. And we love to share them. We took 4 dozen to Amy day before yesterday. But I'm sure glad to be back from down there. I did not enjoy that, except when we went to that World War II military museum. But it is a pretty place, but boy, they really went down on their odds on their slot machines and that. And I think I left them with a maximum of $20, so I didn't get hurt bad.
If you can walk out of a casino and only lose $20, then you've done pretty good. And I can't remember where you, I know you told me, but where were you going again?
Bernice's birthday is a month apart from mine. Mine's in January. And so they got together and developed this plan without even asking me, because I didn't feel like going out of town at that time. And I don't like traveling in them cattle car airplanes anymore. But they already had the tickets booked and the hotels booked, and they paid for everything. We went to Gulfport, Mississippi, which is Biloxi. And then the boys took me over to the World War II Museum in New Orleans. And it's well worth going to. It's 3 or 4 humongous multi-story buildings. It's a pretty nice museum.
Nice. I have to check that out next time I'm down that way. And yeah, I don't care much for flying either. I heard it like cattle and shit like a sardine is what I call it.
Right. I used to love to fly commercial. And I'll never forget one time years ago, a company sent me. Oh, I think I was going to Miami Beach at the time, or else to school. I can't remember. And I flew on a turboprop out of Joplin, Missouri to St. Louis, which is the big airport, and then caught a jet there. And the old boy that was the stewardess at the time, he made me move back for center of gravity. And I thought, oh, this is not going to be good. One person on the flight. And we took off, and we got up to altitude, which it never got over about 12,000 feet. And he looked back, and he said, hey, Tom, he said, did you ever fly when you was in the military? Or he asked me if I was in the military. I said, yeah. He said, what'd you do? I said, well, I was in a flight crew. He says, come on up. And there was just a curtain up there. So I got to flying 250 miles. Up there in the cockpit, and we just sat there and jawed about the Marine Corps and the Navy all the way over there. Now, that's flying, Patrick. Nothing like it is now, where we had to take a pocket knife out of our checked luggage. Amy didn't want us to check it and save $30, and you can have them put it in the hold. Well, I didn't think it bother anything, you know, if they was going to put it in the hold, and we weren't carrying it on. But then once you get out at the next place, you could be carrying that pocket knife around with you, I guess. Big deal. Swiss Army knife. But that's the rules. So she had to go back and take care of that. But other than that, yeah, flying in the old days is a lot different than now.
Take your word for it. I never flew until 9 years ago, and flew out to Las Vegas, and that was just a horrendous flight. Ain't got nothing to do with the flying part of it. It was the accommodations, let's put it that way. I swore I wouldn't do that again, but then I ended up flying up to St. Louis to pick this tool truck up. And I don't know, it's not for me. I would just as soon take the extra time and drive wherever I'm going.
Mitch and I aren't big folks, and like you said, we just crammed in there like a sardine. And when you get older, you tend to get leg cramps. Thankfully, I didn't. And it was a nice plane. It wasn't bad. But that first one is... we landed, we got out of the plane there at Charlotte, and I told that co-pilot, I said, tell your boss in there that He needs to take this in and get a new shock absorber kit put on it. And I'm telling you, the flight crew and him like to bust it a gut. Because when he put her down, Patrick, it was way too hard, put it that way. And then when we landed at Gulfport, there was quite a bit of chop. But, you know, being an old-timer at flying in many hours in the air, that don't bother me. We did land here one time at GSP, and it was 250-foot visibility in a thunderstorm. And that concerned me a little bit, but they can land now when it's almost zero visibility, Patrick. So that don't concern me when they're flying IFR like that, instruments. But the bumpiness is rather uncomfortable, but nothing like I've been through in the past. But there's over 8,000 flights a day, so I don't get concerned about the safety of it.
I'm not saying that part of it, but the flying part of it, the actual flying, I kind of enjoyed that. It was just everything else to do with it. I'm like, I can do without this.
I think you got the right attitude. Yeah, we didn't have any problem with the stewardesses and that, but I felt like the dickens going down. I felt much worse coming back. While I was down there, I got the shakes and felt like I was cold, but it wasn't. And it was that virus, I guess. But it was just started out as a fever blister and then went from there. So I'm glad it's about done with now. Anyways, it was an experience. Got to see the beach, of which I've seen plenty of beaches in my days, too. But it's a good way to get someplace, but they've just made it crowding the seats. I don't know how anyone of size could have fit into one of these seats. It really would have been uncomfortable. And then they'll quadruple it if you ask for business class or first class up front. And the only people who do that is flying on the company, you know, with airline miles.
Like I said, I've had two tries at it, and I might reserve the third strike to one of the little smaller planes and see how that goes. But as far as commercial flight, I'm okay. I'll drive.
Well, if you fly in something like general aviation, like a 150 or a 172 Cessna or something like that, you'll change your mind real quick. You feel like the wind's got you instead of you got the wind. And odds are, and it can happen, and Dave Watson can tell you, they always take you through engine failure training. And, you know, that's not a good thing when you got a single engine. On those jets, even the small ones, they got two engines, and they lose an engine, it's usually a non-event. They just shut it down and power up the other one real good and come on in. And heck, on that four-engine turboprop I flew on, we'd go out 1,200 miles off the coast, roughly, from San Francisco area. Feather one engine, shut it down, turn it into the wind, and then stay on top of a submarine for 4 hours or so, and then turn the propeller end up and fly back home and never think a thing about it. You didn't hardly even know it, unless you were experienced, that they were even shutting the engine off. I think my nephew said the 787, if you lose an engine, say, going from here to Europe, you got 211 minutes to find a place to land. And you got quite a few places you can abort to out there, and they always know where they're going to go.
I'm not flown, don't know anything about it, but I'm assuming having an exit plan or an emergency plan is always a priority on something like that. Knowing where to go and from where you're at and the closest place, you know, just general being familiar with your surroundings is a good idea.
Here's the scary part now. They're getting more instances every day of people buying things. It used to be you'd have to buy real high-end stuff to jam a GPS signal, but now it's got down to where it's cheaper. It means they're using drones in these wars over in Ukraine and that. There's quite a bit of that going on where they're jamming the GPS frequencies. So they're telling the airline pilots that they need to brush up on their conventional navigational education, you know, so that if they lose the GPS signal, they're going to have to fly by the seat of their pants. In other words, they'll have to use a magnetic compass and things of that nature and dead reckoning and all of that. So that's a bit on the scary side.
Yeah, I bet that's a lost art nowadays, using an actual compass and a map to know where you're going. That is scary. I won't be an old-timer if that's the case.
If we was out over the ocean, which we was all the time in the anti-submarine planes, if you lost all electrical power, you actually had a drift meter, because you haven't got any references, just water. And the magnetic lines of variation change around the Earth. So you had a drift meter, because if you go to point A to point B and you got a side wind hitting you, pushing you off, you're not going to wind up at point B, as you can well see. You had a drift meter that you could stick out the side of the plane, and then you had a sextant. And it would go up through the top of the fuselage, and he could take a star shot or a sun shot and navigate that well way, as well as with his compass, as well as could be done. We had what they called inertial navigation back then. Now, I don't know if these planes are equipped with it now. And then we had Loran, which is another one, but... yeah, they need to be brushed up on it, and you know what? I think they are. It's a lot better than having a bus driver with a CDL up in front of you. I'm sure of that.
I think we've become too reliant on technology anymore. Just like last week when they had the cell phone problem. Everybody's in a panic because they can't make a phone call or send a text message or use their Google map to navigate where they're going. So they was all in a ruckus about that. Wasn't that big a deal.
A&T's going to thoughtfully reimburse them up to $5 each. I thought, boy, what if you had a business and they give you $5?
You know, you miss a whole day's work depending on that phone call, and it's funny.
I got to run down the hall, and I think I'll run out and check the chickens again. You give me a text tomorrow and make sure that I'll be here, and great to hear you, buddy. Yeah, I'm glad you got your vehicles up and running. This is NGRO-TR clear.
I'll be bringing some egg cartons with me for you and Miss Bernice. I'll shoot you a text tomorrow afternoon. KO4HKX, mobile monitoring.
Good, we can use them.
Snow, 84ILX.
Hey, Leon, I'm heading up to the FedEx place up next to the airport. I got to pick up another freight shipment today. KO4HKX.
Came up the mountain here, coming up Land Mountain Road, come out the back way. Now, apparently they're not going to need me tomorrow, so I guess I'm going to catch up with y'all next week unless something comes up.
Well, I hope you have a good weekend then, and hopefully you stay out of trouble.
Hey, don't break anything else, okay?
Anything else. This last week was enough.
Take care of your stuff. We're breaking it.
Take care. It's still breaking on me, but that's just part of life. You're going to drive, you're going to pay somebody to fix it. So, just part of it.
Took checked the wife's car in, got the oil changed in it. And he tried to sell me a cabin air filter for $54.
Interesting. Some of those cabin air filters, because they got charcoal filtration in them, so it's, I don't know which one your car's got, but they can get quite expensive.
Much traffic on this county tower up here just tears up over there. Hey, yeah, they're pricey, but I don't think they're $54 are pricey. I might see what I get it at the parts store. Maybe I would just buy it on eBay and have it shipped to the house. Shipping and everything included.
Well, good luck. But you said it's the county tower that's causing the problem up there?
It's the Chinese receiver in this radio.
Just wondering if that's what causes the part of the black hole up there.
I don't have any problem with my other radio at the house. It affects it just ever so slightly. I can still get out and get some weak signals.
Trying to see if we can make contact again on Simplex now that you got your new radio.
Yeah. What's the difference? 144.97, I think, is the frequency that my buddy JR listens to up here. I think I had that programmed in, and it's in my scam list. Pick me up at 52535 or 550.
We'll give it a try when I get closer to the house. That way, see if you and I can make contact from there. And since you got the Yaesu 991A, there's something I want to try and see how well it works.
I'm going to be at the neighbor's house. I'm going to finish cleaning up over there, so it might be a while before you get back to the house.
Several hours before I get home. Like I said, I got to go all the way up to the airport, pick this side locker up, and then drive the truck all the way back down here and get an excursion and go all the way home.
All right, I'll catch up with you in a bit. Yeah, give me a holler. KD4, IOX.
John, have a good evening. KO4HKX.